First speaker, and I'm going to be speaking on one of the statements that Jesus made as he was dying on the cross. And my prayer is that we get some insight tonight, some words of hope, maybe even some words of instruction. I'm going to be speaking from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32-34. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Before I want to expound on the forgiveness part, I think we need to look back to where this all came from and where this all began at. It began in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 24. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to summarize it. We all know what took place in the garden. Adam and Eve are there. God gave them really the perfect place to live, paradise. And he told them they could eat of any of the trees in the garden, but he could not eat from the one in the middle, nor could he touch it. And if they would, they would surely die. And here comes along the one miserable person in the garden, the serpent, the only thing that made this garden kind of unpleasant, and said, "No, you won't die. He don't want you to eat of this, because you know why? Because your eyes will be opened. And not only will they be opened, you'll know good and evil." And they ate from it. I ain't going to say who ate first, but man, we ought to follow our ladies, don't we? Next thing we know, their eyes were not only opened, but their minds were darkened. No longer could they see spiritually or understand the things of God. Shame came about. And not only that, their minds were perverted. And it's something that we all inherited today as mankind. Man was separated from God. And because of that, we needed forgiveness. See, it was prophesied in Isaiah 53:4. It says, "He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." And a lot of times we would ask ourselves, was it us who put Jesus on the cross? Indirectly it was. But directly, it was part of God's plan. It was God's will. See, he was stricken by God. And it was the Lord's will to crush him and to have him to suffer. See, because of what took place in the garden, we now had sickness. We didn't only die spiritually, but we died physically. And that brought about the infirmities. It brought about the sorrows and the pains of that we deal with today in our lives. The divorces and all the other things. We don't have to go through the list of sins. There's so many of them. And then he says, "By his wounds we are healed." And I'm going to tell you something. He's talking about a spiritual healing here. It brought us peace between us and God. Before, we had no peace when sin entered the world. The beatings that he took as he suffered was enormous. He experienced a cat, what they call it, the whip they used, a cat of nine tails. I know Scott's probably going to expound on it, so I won't go real far on this. But it had metal and bone in it, and it would rip into us. It ripped into him and made it to the place where he wasn't even recognizable. They took the clothes off of him. They mocked him. They humiliated him. And Jesus didn't even respond. The Isaiah says that he did not even open his mouth. I think about sometimes when I've been offended, or I don't know how you feel like when you've been offended. You feel like we have a right to lash out and speak out. I know I went through that this week with somebody at work. And I prayed about it, and I tried to just bring kindness to that person. But I knew that God was my mediator. I knew God was the person who was taking care of it. This says Jesus here in a different capacity here. But God knew that he was doing the plan of the Father here. And then today I get a phone call from this lady apologizing to me for speaking so harshly to me. Oh, it pumped me up before I came to speak tonight because I knew that was God encouraging me. See, David humiliated Jesus. They even made him carry his own cross as he was getting ready to be crucified. Then the final insult, when I think about it, was these guards that were sitting there watching Jesus being crucified. They were casting lots, or they were gambling, to see who would get his clothes. And his last words were, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And I wonder, who are those people he's asking about for God to forgive? Was it actually the Roman soldiers that were sitting there? Or the crowd that was witnessing this and watching him to his last breath? Was it the Jewish leaders that was a part of Pontius Pilate's court? Or maybe it was all of us. Because we couldn't accept, they could not have forgiveness until the work was completed. And Jesus came in humility. See, in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, I'm going to speak from 6 through 8. It says, "Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on the cross." As Jesus was sitting on the cross, and he had the opportunity himself actually maybe to forgive these people, he chose to lay aside his deity, not to exercise it, but to come as a servant, to become obedient to God. I mean, that's something for us hardly to understand, to know that he was 100% God and 100% man. And they were mocking him, and they were spitting on him, and they were beating him. But through God's grace, he reached out to us by laying the iniquity of us all. God did that, by laying the iniquity of us all on his son Jesus. And when I think about that, that's a true example of love. God's love for us. A true example of compassion, God's compassion for us. And none of us deserved it, not even them, and neither do we. But yet, the truth is, only those who seek it will receive it. When I think about grace, we always use the word God's riches at Christ's expense or unmerited favor. And as I was pondering this week and praying about grace, I recognized grace is really the power not to sin. Because every time that Jesus was flogged, every time that Jesus was beaten, God is given us the power not to sin. And you know what? It's not only through God the Father and God the Son, but it's through God the Holy Spirit. Because once Jesus left, he left us the one who gave us peace in our hearts, the one who was going to guide us through this life, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I believe Jesus was praying that many would seek him and that many would come to know him. You know, one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his disciples, one of his apostles, Peter, who denied him three times, preached a powerful message in Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'm not going to read it, but the last part he says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You know, these were the same people that were there watching Jesus die on the cross, that were mocking him and witnessing this. And they didn't understand then. But their eyes were opened. God drew them to himself. And at least 5,000 of them came to know Jesus Christ. In the same way, many of us here, and I would like to assume that everybody here knows Jesus, but I'd be foolish to believe that. God may be drawing you tonight, allowing you to understand that that same forgiveness that he offered 2,000 years ago is offered today. And you may hear one message or another message and another message. Maybe you're going to hear seven messages tonight. You probably heard many in your life before that. But I wouldn't let tonight go without questioning our, searching our heart and seeing if we truly had that relationship. You know, the cross was not a pretty sight, because we must come to terms with our own sin. And it's not easy to see his suffering. It's not easy to face up to our own responsibility in it. But you know, some of us need to get closer to the cross. I know for myself, through conviction and praying this week, I need to get closer to the cross. I pray tonight that we all understand how much God loves us and how much Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us so we could have a relationship with him. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.